Wonderful, the Almighty God. You have created some unbelievable things that we just sit back and we wonder in awe. But truly, when we contemplate the position of motherhood, we are contemplating one of the greatest, most awe-inspiring, most inspiring, most amazing positions that a human could ever hold. God, I thank you for our moms. I thank you for those here who are mothers to their own children, to others in the church body, in their community. And God, thank you so much. May you be honored and glorified, and may we leave today encouraged and edified by your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'd like to invite you to turn to the several different scriptures we're going to have, but I probably won't wait for you to turn, and some of them will just be a verse long. So I will mention what they are. I'll give a short moment if you'd like to turn to the passages, but I will not be holding off a whole lot. I'll also be reading today from a different translation. Normally, I use the Holman Christian Standard translation of God's Word. And today, I'm actually going to be using the English Standard version or translation. It's a little different, but it will follow along pretty well with what the different... I know there are several different translations that some of you use. The first passage has been dubbed in most Bibles as the love passage. But I believe it describes the heart of a mother. So, if you'll turn then to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be picking 1 Corinthians 13 up at verse 4. Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, is not proud, is not conceited, does not act foolishly, is not selfish, is not easily provoked to anger, keeps no record of wrongs, takes no pleasure in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Even though the next thing I'm going to read refers to a little bit to yesteryear, so to speak, I believe that this magazine article in the magazine Reminisce is a small way mothers show this passage I just read in action. Mother on a winter's day milked the cows and fed them hay, hitched the mule, drove the kids to school, did a washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows, and did some chores. Cooked a dish of home-dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit. Swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some firewood and lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen bin. Cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled, churned the butter, baked a cake, then exclaimed, "For goodness sake," when the calves ran from the pen and chased them all back in again. Gathered eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table, cooked a supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all dirty dishes. Fed the cat and folded clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play. When you come to the end of a perfect day. That's a really cool picture of mom. Moms do so much all day long, from waking to hopefully shutting their eyes at night. And so often I've watched the mother of my children, my mom, other moms, close their eyes with such satisfaction of their day. What a beautiful thing. Throughout Scripture, children then are given the task of honor. All of us, young or old, should remember to give honor to our parents, especially to moms. Ephesians chapter 6, then, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life. Mothers come with such great instruction. Yes, we had a little fun with some of that instruction there at the beginning, right? But truly, moms give great advice. Kids, let's say it this way. Moms give great advice kids love to ignore. And then moms hold that wonderful, amazing place of, I told you so, sometimes later on. But truly, all of us should honor our mothers and fathers. Mothers play a God-given role for His purpose. We can find this in the Old Testament as well as the New. Psalm 127, verse 3. Now listen to this. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. This psalm praises God as the giver of children, describing them as a heritage and reward from on high. Even though moms don't always feel like their children are a reward. And sometimes in their younger years, all you want is a break. And sometimes in your older years, as they're older, all you want is a break. But nevertheless, children are a heritage from God for us. And I think the godly heritage is described based on doing things God's way. Now, I understand that some moms, when they are rearing their children, are not necessarily in tune with God's way. But when we are, like we read in Psalm 128, just a psalm over, verses 1 through 2 and then 5 through 6, it says, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You will be happy, and it will go well with you, for you. You will see your children's children. So when moms and families do things God's way, then often grandchildren end up as that delight. And how many of you have heard, if I'd known grandchildren were so wonderful and fun, I'd have skipped having kids and gone straight to grandkids. I've heard people say that. One of the biggest reasons I've heard it, though, is that when they start acting up, you can give them back. So that can be nice. But Mother's Day is not always and forever a happy day. I know that today there are many of you who, when coming to Mother's Day, it maybe breeds a little bit of sadness at the loss of a mother or a grandmother. For some, it may be that, for whatever reason, you didn't have children of your own. And I understand that that can bring some sadness. And so I just want to present to you that God understands. And He understands like a mother would understand. Because He's the one that created motherhood. And in fact, listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, it tells us about God acting as a mother. As one whom His mother comforts, so I, God, will comfort you. So often, we talk about God, a God of comfort. We talk about going to God for our solace. But then we don't necessarily think He understands. But I think today we can see more and more that and have an understanding that God created the whole motherhood idea. And we can remember when we were children, there's no greater thing when you have that skinned knee than running to mom and having her overreact and just, you know, hug you and bandage you up, where dad just says, that looks all right. Yeah, go ahead, go on. You know, mom's like, oh no, come here. And we want that. You know what? Ladies, that's not being a softie. That's being like the God of comfort. And so we have that picture. And so for any of us that might come to this day with some sadness and so forth, I just plead with you, go before our Savior. Because through Jesus Christ, we can go to the throne room of God who says that He will comfort us as a mother comforts. God's love is unconditional. It's the greatest comfort that He affords us. And that great comfort comes when we have a relationship with Him through calling upon Jesus, His Son, as Lord of our life and Savior of our eternity. When we do that and humble ourselves in repentance before Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, then God becomes our Father. He becomes likened to our mother. And all the comfort that He can provide will be provided. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture, especially for the true believer. You see, whatever life has for us, and whatever it brings, we can praise God for His comfort. We also, for those of us who have known a mother, for those of you who are mothers, we have God to thank for creating mothers to bring us into existence. And because of this, we actually have the wonderful privilege of spreading God's good news. But we read in Psalm 139, verse 13, that it says, God, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So ladies, when you had that baby giving you all kinds of pain inside you, kicking, and you just couldn't wait for that 9 months to be done, God was doing a work in there. A work creating a life. A life worthy of your motherhood. From birth through life, a mother is tasked with teaching and training her children towards God and His ways. Not all mothers take that task. Some mothers don't realize that task till later in life. And so I say, at whatever point a mother takes the teaching and training of God's ways seriously, it's never too late. And it's never too early. But at whatever point that a mother comes to that realization that's her number one task, then take it, grab it, and run with it. For some of you, maybe your children are out of your home, and you have the wonderful privilege of mothering your husband. Well, you know what? You can also in that time be an amazing example to him of God's ways. And yes, I did get a little interrupted. That's just too sweet over here. All right. So, daughter coming to see mom. That's really awesome. And brought her a pinwheel, too. That's kind of cool. Beats flowers. It doesn't die. So, there you go. I like that. Okay. All right. So, then we come to Proverbs 31. Now, we know this. Hopefully, if we've been in church a good long while, Proverbs 31 is that virtuous wife, that godly wife, and it describes who she is. And I think that, and of course, not just as a wife, but as a mother. But it's certainly, at the end of that passage, you see, moms, there is such precedent for you to be honored today in Scripture. Proverbs 31, verses 2. Towards the beginning, and verse 8 in the middle. And mother's children, rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You see, God places special emphasis on the godly mother as demonstrated by the woman that God chose as the mother of His holy Son, Jesus. You see, Mary wasn't just chosen out of a hat to be the mother of God's Son, Jesus. She was chosen because she even, yes, she was, in those days they married at about 14 years old, so though she was very young, she was already exemplifying what we read in Proverbs 31 of the godly woman. So we read then in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 48, it says, "And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Moms, don't give up on your kids and their relationship with God. Mary had Jesus, and Jesus was God's son, and Jesus lived for his Father God from the moment he was born to the moment he died. But not all of Mary's sons did that. I'm reading Scripture. Some of his sons, her sons, mocked her son Jesus, even though she knew Jesus would be the Savior of the world. But you know what? Mary never gave up. Mary never gave up on her other boys. And she continued to show them God's way as opposed to their own way or their world's way. And eventually, even her boys then turned to Jesus as their Savior. So I say to you, moms, don't give up. For those of you who have maybe someone in your life, a friend or another family member or someone in your community that you know needs to know God's ways and God's put them in your life and you in theirs, don't give up. Pray for them. Pray for them. Every chance you get, just love on them. And love them like Jesus would love them. And I believe, like Mary would have obviously believed, and it showed that her sons came to Jesus, that you will see similar things in your life. You see, even at the end of Jesus' life, he was the firstborn. In those days especially, the firstborn was to take care of the mom. And Jesus was hung on a cross, and he died. His mother was still alive. He couldn't take care of her. And evidently, at that time, Jesus knew his brothers weren't going to step up, because they were not honoring their mother, necessarily. So then we read how Jesus, even at the point of his greatest agony, thought of honoring mom. So we read in John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here's your son,'" pointing to the Apostle John. "And to the disciple, he said, 'Here's your mother.' From that time on, this disciple, we know to be John, took her into his home. And she became like his mom." Sorry. As wonderful as Mother's Day is, I certainly do understand that for some, it is very difficult. The next passage describes how God gives women great joy whether they had children of their own or not, and that people can gain spiritual moms. And I've seen that enacted right here at this church. Some of you have been either recipients of a spiritual mom at this church in this body, or some of you have taken the place of a spiritual mom. And you know what this is. So we read then in Psalm 113, verse 9, says, "God gives the barren woman a home, the church, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord." I love what Scripture says, and it says over and over, and I don't have time to go to all the passages, but it says when you give up, Jesus said, if you give up mother and father, children, and so on and so forth, for my sake, that it will be multiplied to you 100 times. And how many times in my ministry alone that I've met ladies who truly lost their family because of their desire to serve God. I wouldn't say they left their family or anything like that. Their family left them. They didn't want to have any part of what mom's faith was. But I saw those same people, those same women, having children to mother within the church. And I've seen those same ones. It might be a Sunday, as a Sunday school teacher or a VBS teacher, or just always being there and taking interest in some child within the church. Might even be that there was a child that lost their mother or lost their parents, an orphan of sorts. And I've had the privilege of seeing how God chose women in the church who may or may not have had their own kids, and they were able to step in place and be mom for those kids in the church. And truly, where they might have only had, if any, one or two of their own in the church, then they've got 10, 20 that literally will come back 20, 30 years later, and the first person they want to see is that spiritual mom right there in the church. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So children of birth and spiritual mothers are to learn from and take care of and bring joy to their moms. If you have a spiritual mom, if you have someone that has always been there for you and has taught you the ways of God, tell them, Happy Mother's Day. You have been a beautiful example to me and for me of what it is to know God's ways. Take the opportunity to do that. Proverbs 6:20 through 22. Says this, My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck when you walk. They will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Moms, like I said, dads play a huge role. We'll talk about that in a month. But moms, I'm telling you, what you have taught your kids from childhood will stick with them all their life. It will spread to generation and generation as you teach them God's ways, because they're going to teach their children, who will teach their children, who will teach their children. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And as children, hey, all of you, I want you to think back to some of the most important lessons your mom taught you. And I want you to ask the question, if they were part of God's ways, are you following it? Are you following those things that she was teaching? Because guess what? That teaching, if it was part of what God teaches here in His Word, wasn't just from her, it was from God through her to you, to me. Proverbs 23, verses 22 and 25 says, Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Now, I kind of take this verse as kind of a twofold thing. One, I don't know what it is, but over and over and over, in many, many cases, not every, but many cases, ladies, you outlive us guys. Because it said, don't despise your mother when she's old, and evidently dad's not there, speaking of this proverb. That's not always the case, but let me tell you something. Let's make sure we're taking care of mom. Now, I've seen nothing but beautiful and wonderful examples here at this church for that. So this is what I say to this church body. Those in your community, those in your neighborhood, a wonderful way of witnessing the love of God is to help them understand how they should be taking care of their elderly mother. Step in enough, as they allow you, to love on them and by example, help them learn to show honor and love to their mother. Folks, we have to reach this community. And we have some older folks around here that their own kids aren't even showing up. Maybe we can put our arm around the kid and help them show up for mom. I think that'd be an important thing. The bottom line is that God created women and gave her the amazing position of mother, knowing no one else could come close to fulfilling the duties of that position except the woman seeking God on His terms, and then that woman fulfills the shoes of mother completely. So here's my challenge to you, ladies. Moms, no matter if you're a birth mother or a spiritual mother, old or young, I leave you with this threefold challenge. Be strong, consistent, and committed in your faith, no matter what. Pray And then after you pray, pray. And after that, pray again. For all those that you call child, never, ever give up on your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and so on. And never, ever, ever give up on God and His work in them. Mothers are truly the glue that holds the family together and close to God as they fulfill the amazing position of motherhood. If I may ask you to bow your head in prayer. Holy God, I thank you so much. I thank you for my mom. Thank you for my grandmothers that I had a wonderful privilege of knowing. I thank you that they were all women who first sought you, trained their children and even grandchildren to seek you. My mom doing the same thing. Thank you for my wife. Oh Lord, I do that publicly here. And for how, as my wife leads my children in godly ways, I pray it because I also know that in this church body, you have so sweetly set apart the women here to take on this godly position of motherhood, and I can pray exactly what I just prayed about my grandmother's mother and wife. I can pray in gratefulness to you about them. And if we had time, I could call them by name. So God, I, before your throne, I want to honor the women at Zohar Baptist Church. I want to honor their commitment to you and to motherhood, the position, the amazing position that you've given them. I only ask that they will take this threefold challenge, that they will be completely consistent, committed to you always in faith, that they will pray, and they'll never give up. And may they take it on as a badge of honor before Almighty God. And I know I'm going to hear on that day when you hand reward in eternity, I'm going to hear as Zohar women come before you, I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, over and over. Lord, I ask that you'll help them to keep on keeping on. And I pray that as we go out this day, that this church body will determine then, that the mothers will determine to take on their community, take on people whom you've given them relationship with that are not being the mother they should be or honoring their mother as they should be, and that they will take them under their loving wing and use it as an opportunity to share with them the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, share with them how they can be right with God and do things your way. I give you the glory for all that we've heard, all that we will do today. And I do pray that, yes, to honor mothers, but ultimately that it will bring glory and honor and praise to you, Almighty God, the creator of mothers and motherhood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.